to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Charles Jermont, and I'm joined by
Andy K.
Oh, Christ. You're already so hot. All right.
What's wrong with the mic?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. That's Charles and Andy are recording from the same room again, making my life butter hell.
Listen, prepare for slight pauses as we pass the microphone and all those witty comments you'll miss as they're set off mic. But that's okay.
We're recording early this week because it is American Thanksgiving this coming Thursday.
And
we all have shit to do the night before. So apparently, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the dedicated go out with your local friends night or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Andy, you were dedicated nowhere near the mic when you said that.
Dedicated to who?
Well, you go home to see your family, and then Wednesday night you go out with like your local friends who you don't see anymore because you live somewhere else.
Well, I mean, Friendsgiving normally, our Friendsgiving is like the weekend before or after Thanksgiving. You don't do Wednesday.
Do they not have Friendsgiving?
Some people
don't.
Isn't that just
Friendsgiving?
Well, Friendsgiving, I feel like, is a closer kind of friend, right? You know, how often do you? These are people who you may have grown up with on the street or something like that.
Yeah, but like, why would you spend time with other people that's not your close friends during the holidays?
Well, because presumably they're with their families, which are not close to you because you met them irrespective of their distance to you.
Oh.
This sounds complicated.
It's not
so
really.
Who's not in my Friendsgiving, but I'm still going to see.
So, Andy, in this hypothetical, right?
Yes, let's build it.
Okay. You would be going home to the ancestral K household.
Yes.
And on that ancestral K household, I assume there are also families who also meet on their ancestral homes.
True.
And you know those people because you went to school with them or you played, you know, with them because they were close by.
Mm-hmm.
They're not day-to-day friends.
No.
But you know, it's like, oh, it's these people I haven't seen in forever kind of thing.
Oh, like the kind of people that you'll say, hey, we should
do something. Yeah,
we should do something.
And you hope no one follows up after that sentence.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
You don't actually follow up, though. These people who do things on Wednesday are good people. Like, they follow through. I don't have time for that.
I'm going to be very clear. I don't talk to anyone high school or below anymore. I have cut those people out of... Actually, that's not true. There's one person. That's my friend who lives in Tokyo. But he didn't go to high school with me. So school and below, all of those people are cut out of my life.
Listen, you got to burn that evidence. Those are years that cannot be revisited. At least mine. Don't go back there.
No, but it's... Yeah, I don't know. I guess there are a lot of people who, like, you know, they have closer high school relationships and things like that, that they want to be like, oh, we're in town, we should go out. And I'm like, who are these psychopaths?
Who are these people? Especially on a Wednesday? That's a PTO day.
What are you going to do? Your home? Are you going to spend all night with your parents?
No. Ooh,
exactly.
Fair.
That's the thing, right?
You just twisted this.
I don't know. Listen, you look, all of you people lost and beleaguered with your parents who you don't like, in a house that maybe you just don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. You should have bought a hotel.
or you know, you just accept that you'll be in traffic at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, you all knew. this wasn't your thing. You could have just found a different way. Watch any new movies or something. I don't know.
Now, to be clear, I don't mind hanging out with my family, but you know what? I like to keep them at a reasonable arm's distance.
I think I have about a 2 or 3 hour time limit with my family. It's anything past that, my mom gets bored or my sister and I are screaming at each other. And that's about it.
Is that a preview of what's to come for Thanksgiving, Andy?
That is. But I'm only going to be there for about 3 hours. The last time I was making it about me, but I thought I was being such a good son. I was like, Mom, let me buy you lunch. Let's catch up. I go and I see her. I'm there for about an hour. She's like, okay. All right. It was nice seeing you.
She has things to do, Andy. She has a life outside of you.
I hadn't seen her in so long.
Yeah, and you saw her, and now it's done.
Oh, I just picture just Mrs. K just mm-hmm. taking her keys and walking away. Like, hold on, I got to meet the girls later.
Yeah. Andy, do you not do the traditional like turkey and everything on Thanksgiving? Is it more of just kind of a meetup?
Oh no, we do the Thanksgiving. We have aged, and now we pay a grocery store to do all that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. We get it from Whole Foods. It's very, very good.
I have heard the Whole Foods like Thanksgiving in a box is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Cause my mom was like, I'm over this. And then I tried once for Christmas and I spent a lot of money and spent the entire day. It wasn't that much better. So
yeah, it's not cheap. I do remember one of the first times I hosted Thanksgiving. I think I sat down for dinner and I went, oh, I haven't sat down since like 10 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I once tried to cook a turkey and like when it's your first time doing it, you mess up and you spend enough time there. Like you either don't put enough flavor. You don't like prepare it properly. It dries. There's a lot to worry about. Mm-hmm. So I get it. You don't want to have to do that. You want a reliable, consistent turkey.
Charles, you want to get a little closer to the mic. You're a little quiet.
I'm holding it.
Yeah, make love to it.
Oh, you want me to just
yeah
get up in here and
yeah get some ASMR. Yeah,
how much more into this podcast?
The compressor can only do so much in Audacity. You have to give me something to work with.
What's really important is you have to understand. Okay. When you put that turkey leg, raise it to your lips, and you bite down and sink into that juicy, juicy leg, and then there's no flavor, you never want to do it again. After knowing
dry
how
dry as the Sahara,
this was not worth it. And then you have to look at everyone else.
Yeah.
Also taking a bite and then them being polite. And so you say never again.
That's a lot of pressure.
Oh yeah.
To cook the turkey?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
No.
Listen, it's nothing that 3.5 gallons of oil can't solve for you, Andy.
Oh, you deep fry yours.
Well, I don't, not for Thanksgiving usually. Oh. I mean, unless I'm hosting, but that's kind of a variable thing.
James, we still have to try a
when I don't fuck it up. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to say it that way.
I put too much vinegar in the brine. It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was still good. It was just very vinegary. I still ate it.
It was like a salt and vinegar chip turkey.
That's true. Well, turkey's too much pressure. Whole Foods has got it down. Whole Foods knows. I never want to cook a turkey. You just put a lot of gravy on it anyways, though. So I guess what does that matter?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I only mean to say I remember when I discovered why you have to have gravy with turkey a couple of years ago. Like, it just never made sense to me. And then I realized it might have been after I had cooked a turkey. And I was like, oh, this solves that terrible, terrible dryness. Just again, terrible.
That's what 3.5 gallons of oil fix for you.
That's true.
Yeah. But as we all know, turkey, it's pretty variable, right? Can be good, can be bad. What's your favorite side, though? The fixins, right? That's where the money is.
Oh, I mean, I am but a simple potato eating man. Just potatoes, just to throw more mashed potatoes in it. Well, we have corn and cornbread and
you have corn
and other stuff.
I guess, yeah.
And I go, nah, it's fine. Mashed potatoes will do.
Corn. I mean, corn feels traditional in a sense, but I've never thought about having it for Thanksgiving because it's always out of season at that point.
I mean, I guess you could say it's out of season, but like, yeah, it's never felt weird to me to have corn.
Yeah.
Where
do you stand on your mashed potatoes? Are you a creamy? Do you like chunky? Skins on, skins off?
Oh, all of them. What's it? there is a hole in my stomach for every potato.
What do you put little garlic powder in there? Maybe some cheese?
Oh, I tend to, when I make mashed potatoes, I cut some green onion and garlic, and you mix it up with some heavy whipping cream.
Oh.
That's the way.
Yeah, it's really nice.
How much butter?
Oh, all of it.
All of it, okay.
Yeah. Listen, when you make mashed potatoes, you measure your butter in sticks.
It's like saying, hey, do you put some salt on it sometimes? Of course you do. Yeah.
What about you, Andy? Where do you stand?
I don't know. Like, you've got me really thinking right now.
What do you look forward to most coming out of that Whole Foods box, Andy?
Let me step back and review it again. Yeah. Their stuffing's really good. Stuffing with gravy, turkey with gravy. You know what's good? Cranberry on turkey. Are you supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Because I do that. And no one else does that.
Oh, everyone does that, Andy.
Okay, thank you.
I've heard examples.
What did Charles say? He's heard examples, maybe not himself.
I'm pretty sure I made cranberry sauce for you guys when we had Thanksgiving together.
Oh, did you? Oh, I don't remember. Charles certainly didn't use it.
Just remember being disappointed in the turkey.
It was fine.
Flew 2,000 miles for this bullshit.
Actually, I was going to say three, but no, it is just two.
Listen, I don't know. Stuffing. But that's such a boring answer.
Well, here's the thing, Andy. This is where I come down to, because I'm a stuffing guy as well. But I'm not a bread. I like a meat stuffing.
Oh, weren't you talking about putting like sausage and apple in it?
Yeah, you put sausage, you put green apple, a little Parmesan cheese.
That sounds really good.
Oh, it's so good. And to the point that it's a meal upon itself.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if Whole Foods put sausage in their stuffing. I don't know. This week, this is where they fail you.
What were you doing now? You in the Popeyes one, Andy?
I need to jump in just a little bit because now I can picture Andy when he says he's mixing it up.
You're so quiet, Charles. No, I can hear a word.
We turned it. Sorry. So I picture it more as Andy, as he's picking it up. You know, you guys should try something a little bit.
I tell them to do something.
Oh, I can see that, definitely.
Hey, I know Beesbos owns you now, and I just really think you got to step up the quality.
You ruined it all. They don't even deliver it. But no, my mom was like, I'm going to get different sides this time, and I don't remember what she said. So it's going to be a mystery to me. And Andy, my sister picks out the wine, so let's hope it keeps to not a lot this year, please.
She's gonna
Andy. Next year you should go for the Popeyes turkey.
There's a Popeyes turkey?
Yeah, Popeyes. You can pre-order a turkey from Popeyes every year for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if it's good.
I've heard good things.
Okay.
I mean, it's more of like a Cajun turkey, right? It's not your traditional flavors, but
that's reasonable. Wait, did you say yours is stuffing as well?
Yeah, I'm a stuffing guy.
Well, then we're all boring people.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I want hot takes on the Thanksgiving menu.
I mean, listen, what else do I enjoy? I enjoy creamed onions, stuffed mushrooms. I'm Italian, so there's always a pasta dish.
Oh, sure.
That's right. It's not enough to have turkey. We also throw in usually some lasagna or stuffed shells.
Ooh. That's heavy.
It goes on its own plate. So you have two plates. You have your pasta plate, and then you have your Thanksgiving plate.
Naturally, naturally.
Yeah.
Lasagna's great, though. Homemade. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. No, fresh bread. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like to experiment. I like to do fun things with Thanksgiving dinner. And like, I mean, like the cranberry sauce I've been making lately is kind of like, it's a compote.
What does that mean?
With rosemary.
I know it's word, and I know it's not compost. But then I stop thinking about it.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a jam, essentially.
Oh,
it's a dessert originating from medieval Europe, made of whole or pieces of fruit and sugar syrup.
Mm.
So I make a cranberry compote.
Yeah, it's a compote with it's done with the like as a reduction, right? You kind of cook it a little bit.
Yeah, you cook it down, so it gets that real kind of
different than a jam or anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? Where do you fall on leftovers?
I just take whatever is left and then I enjoy it for the next couple of days.
Do you shove it all into one giant sub roll?
What?
Oh yeah. You've never done that?
No.
Charles, come on. Don't leave me hanging.
You stand alone.
You're lonely. The gobbler, baby. You don't have gobblers?
No. That's like, made up. I need
you. Put your turkey in there, your stuffing, maybe a little mashed potatoes, then you put on the gravy and the cranberry sauce. Oh, but it's a Thanksgiving meal on every bite.
No, I'm sorry. Look, the reason why is because all that leftovers that's around, what little leftovers there is, you just eat it again. Like, it doesn't last the rest of the week. You just keep eating it. You wake up.
That's what I mean. This is tomorrow. I'm saying the day after.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then you eat the food that's still on the spread. You just microwave it all, and then you keep going or put it in the oven.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You microwave it all, and then you put it into a sub roll.
Yeah. I know. But that's just not how it goes. It's everyone just picks at it until it's all completely gone.
I see.
I gotta say, though, you have me interested. Because I make the same plate again for like the next 2 to 3 days.
Andy, look around your local delicatessens and see if they have something called like a Thanksgiving sandwich or a gobbler on their menu. And you can try it and see how you feel about it.
I mean, it's all going to the same place anyways.
That's right.
And I enjoy all those flavors.
One of my favorite arguments I've ever heard about eating foods together was a webcomic artist, Scott Kurtz, was talking about. It's like if I have a hamburger and a Coke and I take a bite of the hamburger and then before swallowing, I immediately take a sip of my Coke. You don't think that's weird. You think that's just whatever. But if I were to take my Coke and dump it all over my hamburger and then eat it, you would think I had gone insane. But functionally, it's the same thing.
So here's my thing about that. I've never drank something while there was still food in my mouth. I literally swallow that first, and then I chase it with a drink.
I will say that's the normal procedure. There have been times. It's usually when I'm shoving food down my throat because I'm starving, where I will be drinking and eating at the same time.
Yeah. See, I understand gluttony.
I understand the sin, yes.
I feel I walk an embody it at least once a week. Mm-hmm. But here's my perspective on being gluttonous. Mm. Eat it all as fast as you can until you start choking. and the only reason you're drinking is to keep you from choking. And that is actually the only reason why I make sure I have a drink with all my food, because sometimes I'm going to choke with how fast I am eating. When did I learn this skill?
You are a fast eater.
Yeah, and that's why people sometimes, when they're with me, are like, hey, you haven't eaten your food yet. I was like, no, I'll finish in time.
That's the worst feeling, eating so fast and then you start to choke and then you wonder, uh-oh.
then you give yourself, you know, the pats on your chest, clear the airways and go, whew, I should slow down. And then you don't.
And then I don't. And then I think, I always have these moments too. And then like after it, like it passes, like I drink a water, it passes. And I think to myself, and now I've learned. And I'll never eat fast again. Uh-huh. Especially like if you're all by yourself. Like it's just me sitting on the floor at my coffee table inhaling McDonald's as I watch TV. And then you start to choke and you're like, well, wait, better solve this
did
now.
Did you say you're on your floor while you were doing that?
Yeah.
All right.
There's only been a couple instances where I've eaten something and I was not able to procure a liquid to make sure I don't choke. Mm-hmm. And when that happens,
turn the mic, Charles.
No, now you're in front of it. No, I'm still in front of it.
You're real quiet compared to Andy.
I'm like here.
Yeah, because of the
mic there. Either case. But let me tell you,
you're just making this so hard on me.
So, but in those instances where I don't have something to drink and there's still food in front of me that's warm, mm-hmm. I still eat it.
Of course.
And then you wait till you start choking, mm-hmm. and then you just stop where you go, okay, I'm choking a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if I tough it out, it eventually goes away by itself.
That is true.
So I'll just sit here and slowly breathe until breathing gets better. And then suddenly you're like, all right, that's good. So I'm going to take like another 30 minutes to eat my meal because I have to stop every 5 because I'm slowly choking.
Dear listener, let us know about a time you've choked while eating and decided to keep going as well. Push through the pain, as it were.
Food is food in front of you. Why are you, you're not going to waste it.
You don't leave it.
We're part of the Clean Plate Club. You finish your food.
Well, actually, that's always an interesting thing. So did you have that rule growing up that you couldn't leave the table until you cleaned your plate?
Yes. And I've fallen asleep at the table because I wasn't allowed to leave.
Jesus. Charles, what about you?
I don't think so. Yeah. Mostly because I just ate everything. except vegetables.
It was vegetables.
But
yeah, that creates really unhealthy eating habits. You know that, right, Andy?
What, not eating vegetables?
No.
They
tried their best. Like, not being able to leave the table until you clean your plate.
I mean, to me, it makes sense.
No, like, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all, Andy.
I don't need to know child psychology. They're annoying. They don't know better. Just do it.
I mean, like Andy said, everyone tried their best.
That's true.
Because if you're poor, you need to eat that food.
That's true.
You have a fridge.
And time put into that. How frustrating must that be? Oh my gosh, let's role play. How frustrating must it be to be a parent? You put food in front of your kid and they say, I'm not going to eat it. Of course you're going to say, yes, you are.
All right, and then this is what happened in my household. And they went, all right, well, we're not making anything else. It'll be here when you want it. And go away. And then I'd be like, I guess I'm hungry now. About an hour later, I'd come back, I'd get it out of the fridge, and I'd be like, I wish I just ate this when it was warm.
You know what? That's healthier. You got to walk away. I think I'd throw a tantrum as an adult and make that kid eat it. Just eat it. That's life. This is literally the most inconsequential problem you could have. Prepared food in front of you that you don't want to eat?
But I
have
that,
to work
Andy.
Every day. What do you do? Not pay rent? Not pay my grocery bill? What are you doing? You
can't
leave the table.
I can't wait until Andy becomes the only one of us to have children.
Anyways, it makes sense to me.
Fucking kids, I hate them.
I mean, sometimes you have to call them on their bluff, right?
Granted, that's what my parents did in a slightly more reasonable way.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, eventually I did eat all the vegetables, and then I got over it, and then I finally did it. Except I would refuse to eat baked beans, and I think that became an agreement in my household. They're like, okay, Andy, you don't have to eat baked beans. They are kind of gross. And so I got that one. No, they're not. And you're wrong.
Yep. Yep. All beans are delicious. No. But if you couldn't tell by the fact that we just spent half an hour talking about Thanksgiving and food, it's slow news week. So I have, Charles has an early review of the newest Resident Evil movie, but we'll save that for the end as a teaser. You got to stay the whole way to hear that. There are a couple pieces of news, and of course, they're about Blizzard.
No!
Yeah, oh yeah, baby! We're going to be talking about Blizzard for the rest of our lives.
No, it's so sad. Listen, yeah, isn't the Thanksgiving spirit, James. We're not thankful for Activision Blizzard right now.
No, we're not. But that's neither here. But you know who we are thankful for?
Ooh,
I Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo recently sent out. We talked about this last week, how Sony had sent out an internal email kind of saying, man, their shit's fucked about Activision Blizzard. We also have found out that Phil Spencer and Doug Bowser of Nintendo have also sent out similar emails to their own companies being like, yeah, we're reevaluating our relationship with them right now. And that's actually something.
I don't know if they'll follow through. That'd be nice, but they must make so much money in microtransactions, even like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, because they're what, taking 20% of that? 30%?
I think it's somewhere, well, they probably negotiate less, but yeah, anywhere between like 15 and 20.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're taking a good amount of money. I don't know if it's all lip service, right? Nothing means anything until it's done. Companies are great at lying. And so,
yeah. Let's see. Doug Bowser sent an email and it, so Nintendo confirmed the content of it. This is a leaked email, of course. And Doug was quoted as saying, along with all of you, I've been following the latest developments with Activision Blizzard and the ongoing reports of sexual harassment and toxicity at the company. I find these accounts distressing and disturbing. They run counter to my values as well as Nintendo's beliefs, values, and policies. Let's see. Bowser went on to say that Nintendo is an open, inclusive workplace. They expect this from the industry and their partners as well. They have been in contact with Activision, have taken action, and are assessing others that they might take with Activision as well. So, who knows? Something's got to push on them. We'll see. Bobby Kotick on Monday said that he'll consider leaving the company if he can't fix the culture.
He needs to step down. He's a gross person. Everybody there is gross. And by that, I mean leadership, not the actual employees. But I don't know. What do you do with them? What do you do with them? I have a friend that works at one of the companies owned by Activision. And he was talking about how, like, they're under Activision, but completely, again, independent. Like, it just completely baffled
them. They're their publisher. They're their publisher.
It's their publisher. And like the culture is just completely different. It's just completely different than what it is at Activision. And they, of course, had an internal meeting about it. And then they were just told, you know, if you do anything, you're fired. And they're like, okay, we hadn't before, but thanks for the reminder. It's it goes without saying to treat people like humans, which is what makes me. What's that?
They sat everyone down and went, we understand this runs counter to all of your impulses, but don't sexually harass or threaten women with murder.
Exactly.
We know it's hard for us too. It's and everyone's like, it's not hard. And they went, what? It's what are you talking about? Of course it is.
It's of course. Please don't feel like you're alone. We all feel this.
We all want to sexually harass women all the time.
All the
Cut that out, and then I can't run for office right there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. It's such a mess. But at least it's not at the satellite companies. And then that plays, too, into, like, with Diablo 2 Remaster. That wasn't done by Blizzard. That was done by a completely different company.
Vicarious Visions. However, I think Activision Blizzard has now bought that company.
Oh, but they still might not be creeps.
Actually, also, Andy, Jen O'Neill was the head of Vicarious Visions and she was promoted to co-head of Blizzard, and then she left.
Ah, that's right. Promoted and paid less with the promotion. And
that's right.
Oh, my God. The easiest thing, is pay a woman as much of them as a man, and they couldn't do it.
Why would they?
Oh, my God. Why is it so hard?
Charles, we've talked about this now consecutively for 8 episodes. Do you have anything you want to weigh in? Any new takes on this? Or?
So the other thing about this, too, is I think that maybe this is why the third company came up and spoke about it, was Activision Blizzard was like, we've set up some committees headed by the people of our board, and we're going to get to the bottom of stuff. And even though the people from the board are the people that are still supporting Bobby Kotick, so it's just like, well, that yeah. So you're going to do nothing then, basically. And that's actually the giant worst part. It's just like, why are you doing all this rigmarole that even if you believed everyone was stupid, you know that other gaming companies' heads are not.
again, Charles, it's an Indiana's discussion of like, we know it's hard not. we all know we want to act like this. and you know, I mean, to a certain part, right? It's like people who have that sort of internalized misogyny, I guess, for lack of a better term, like this is everyone thinks that way because that's how everyone should think, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Just every time there's a woman in the office, I just want to pay her less. Let me tell you.
just look at her, and I hope she's working harder than me and making less money. Yeah. Than me. Jesus Christ! Oh, I hate this. Can we? God.
Yeah.
I really don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, Activision Blizzard bad. Probably could be broken up and split up into those individual places, and let's see if they could come together anew.
Yeah,
from the ashes.
How is that CEO not fired? Isn't
because everyone on the board is his friend?
What's that?
Everyone on the board is his friend. Oh. Also, if you remember, in one of the first times we talked about this, we showed how like under his leadership, Activision Blizzard stock price has raised.
That's like right.
1500% or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. So.
That's true. But I thought like this is the job of a CEO is to take the blame, right?
Also,
when things go wrong, you get rid of a CEO. And then of course they get a golden parachute, but like this is the ritual, and we're standing up for him. It's weird. Well, not we, the board, I guess. Just
all right, let's shift away from this. I'm gonna add this story in. I just see it came in 2 hours ago just because it's ridiculous. Dark Souls has been named the ultimate game of all time at the Golden Joystick
Awards.
What are the Golden Joystick Awards?
What is the Golden Joystick?
I remember the Golden Joystick Award.
The name is familiar. Yes.
Yeah. But I thought that it died as the Winter Keelys have swallowed up any other thing.
The Golden Joystick Awards, also known as the People's Gaming Awards, is a video game award ceremony. It awards the best video games as voted originally by the British general public, but now can be voted by anyone online. Okay. So it's kind of like the People's Choice Award, but for gaming. But isn't the Keelys are also people's choice? Well, actually, that's not true. Judges vote, and the online vote has a percentage, but it's weighed against the judges' vote for the Keelys, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is all 100%
of the year at the Game Awards. But
listen, the sooner we start calling them the Winter Keelys, the sooner it'll take hold.
I hope so.
Yeah, the full list of nominees was Doom 1993, Breath of the Wild. I would have picked Ocarina of Time, but whatever. Half-Life 2, Minecraft, Street Fighter 2, Tetris, Last of Us, Super Mario 64, Metal Gear Solid 1, Halo, Combat Evolved, Super Mario Bros. 3, GTA 5, Portal, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Pac-Man, Super Mario Kart, Space Invaders, SimCity 1989, and Pokemon Go. Just in that list, I would have picked Tetris.
Yeah.
I hate when they say ultimate game of all time, because there's no good metric and everyone's going to take it differently, and then everyone votes.
What the heck?
And then you get weird ass games in here.
Like, I like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I think I've made that perfectly clear.
I agree, right? I like Dark Souls. I like Legend of Zelda. Oh, no, I don't like. I appreciate the contributions they've made to the medium. But like SimCity 1989, ultimate game.
Look, I mean, it was Hallmark.
Yeah, no, exactly. A Hallmark, but ultimate game. You could have put the newest SimCity at least. Yeah. There's a lot more cooler shit in the new SimCity.
No one wants
to
play game again.
I mean, here's the thing, right? If you're going to go by franchise, right? The Mario franchise has sold the most of all games at 758 million copies. And that includes every permutation of a Mario game. Mario Sports, Mario RPG, Mario Party, Mario Kart, any Mario game. 758 million copies. Underneath that, much more reasonably, Tetris is at 495 million. I don't know. I can't think of a game that has more synonymous appeal, or it's like more broad appeal, and you can look at Tetris and go, that's Tetris. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's no second guessing Tetris when you see it.
No, I agree, right? So the weird part about this list is just that it's smattered between so many different games of different types of qualities, because everybody judged on different criteria.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have to be clear that if I say ultimate game of all time, I assume that is the only game I'm going to play for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's something like that, like, I think Tetris can go really high.
Yeah.
That's
a good way to pose it, Charles. This is the one game you could play. If this is like the desert island scenario, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You can take one game with you.
And so, like, I'd say Tetris could be there. Surprisingly, Grand Theft Auto 5. But that's not, like, I'd say it's close, but it's not going to be the one I choose. And, like, not even Dark Souls.
Minecraft?
Might be Minecraft.
Yeah.
I might have to say Minecraft. Like, there is always going to be something to explore because it's RNG that the environments are generated. There's always something different. There's a lot that can be done there. I think I'd lean towards Minecraft, especially if that's the only game you play.
Is this all user generated? Because this feels like a meme vote.
No, it's user generated.
Or is there judges, or is it all users?
All users.
Okay.
This is like it's the People's Choice Award of
game. Then they're dumb. It's not Dark Souls. Like, it's not Dark Souls. No. I'm like as I'm reflecting, I'm getting angry. Like, what? look at all these options. They're dumb. It's not Dark Souls. Dark Souls isn't, well, I was going to say it's not that great. It's not that great.
I just, the thing that comes back to me with Tetris is the formula of Tetris has been iterated on so much and yet still remains so pure. Like, Tetris games still come out and they still have something new despite being the same stupid four block gameplay. Like, Pac-Man is just as influential as Tetris, but there aren't new Pac-Man games.
There's Pac-Man. I don't remember the last one. What was it? Yeah. Pac-Man Anniversary? Pac-Man Battle Royale? What the heck was it? Pac-Man Championship. That's what it was.
Yeah, but they don't like play with the formula like Tetris does. You know what I mean?
Pac-Man Championship lets you put out a bunch of little Pac-Man or really? Something.
Why do you know that?
And there were like trails. Yeah, that one was pretty cool. They actually had the creator come back to make it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was like when like Xbox Live Arcade was a thing.
Ah.
But so they iterated. But Tetris Effect was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Dark Souls, get out of here. Stop. It's not that great. I mean, it's good, but not ultimate. God, who are all these tryhards? I'm getting upset. All these voters are wrong.
I want each of us to pick a top three. because I think that's very interesting, and I want to see how much differentiation there are. I won't. You don't. If you want to say what the order is, that's fine. But at least pick three. I'll go first, just to give you guys a second. I think my list would go Tetris, Minecraft, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Mm.
Which, I mean, I guess betrays my age in some ways, but.
Old man James. Here he comes. Brothers,
hey, which of these games has had a movie made about them, huh? Super Mario Brothers 3 has The Wizard starring Corey Haim. Was it Corey Haim? Which Corey was it?
I don't remember.
Either case, they're both dead, right? No, one of them's still alive.
No, one of them's still alive. The Wizard.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, it was Fred Savage. Never mind.
Wow, that was a miss. A swerve, I'd say.
That's okay.
So mine is actually going to be Minecraft, Tetris, and then Grand Theft Auto, actually. 5.
It is 5. It's not like the whole series. And 5 is a very good game. So I think that's reasonable. 5 is an achievement in many, many ways. Are you including online when you think of that, or just the single player?
Online, too.
Okay. I think if you include online, that does bump it up in my mind, too. All right, Andy, where are you at?
I don't know. The whole thing makes me mad.
You don't have to, again, you don't have to rank order them. You just have to pick the three you think are the highest.
Tetris. I think it's the word ultimate. The word ultimate makes me so mad.
It's too high.
Ultimate game? What?
It's the ultimate game of all time.
Of all time, right. Yeah, like, it's not the game of all time.
Listen, Andy, I'll be very clear. They're never going to have the sword again.
This is the kind of award you accept, and you just, like, you're not proud of it. Right. Like, Miyazaki is going to get this Dark Souls award, and he's going to be like, who is this kid? What blog is this?
Well, Miyazaki's going to be like, no, my game is not the best game of all time.
Yeah, I think he would actually.
Dark Souls is terrible. I hate it. Give it to Miyamoto for Super Mario Brothers 1 is probably his opinion.
Yeah. Like, I think this list is confused between influential and best game. Like, yeah, Dark Souls is great, but Bloodborne is better.
Oh, absolutely.
It's better. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Anyways, I don't know. Tetris. What were the other ones, you guys? Because I think I agree with it.
Can you not see on Twitch?
Oh, I can. It's just my old and aging eyes. Minecraft. And I don't know, maybe Grand Theft Auto, who knows. I hate it. I hate this list. I hate the idea. I hate the Golden Globes or whatever the heck this is. It's all garbage. Throw it away.
Yeah, but now I have a great title to our episode of what is the ultimate game of
all time. The ultimate game, the super ultimate.
God, the SEO is going to be off the charts, baby.
Like, it's a parody of itself. To say ultimate game of all time is a parody. God,
I thought we had nothing to talk about today, and God just fucking handed me a bundle of joy.
Who are these freaking clickbait morons? Like, golden joystick?
Who runs it? I'm actually curious.
GameSpot?
No.
It's been going on since the 90s.
The second oldest video game award.
Oh, God.
But who hosts it? What was last year's? Well, last year there was the Ultimate Game. Oh, by the way, PC Ultimate Hardware
of all time? You've got to be kidding me.
Resident Evil Village was their game of the year, by the way.
So no, it wasn't. It was the ultimate game of the year.
Yeah, I know. That's true. The ultimate game of the year. They also have Nintendo game of the year, Xbox game of the year. This is such a bullshit award ceremony. Oh, Last of Us tells me
we could have our own award show.
We 100% could. Yeah, we 100% can have our own. Every fucking gaming news outlet has their own award show.
Wait, James, they've had Ultimate Games of the Year for a long time.
No. The Ultimate Game of the Year. But this year they did Ultimate Game of All Time.
Oh,
that's so stupid. I'm so mad.
I think this means they're never going to host this. This is it. We figured it out, guys.
We're done.
Oh, maybe they're going out of business.
Oh, I hope
Nolan North hosted this too.
What are you doing? What?
And Emily Rose.
Oh, Nolan North, you're not hard up, right?
Listen, good there's no such money. Thing. There's no such thing as too much money, Charles.
Is this the kind of award show where people accept the awards?
Absolutely not. I have never seen a gaming award. I guess the Keeleys are the only one, but I have never seen a gaming award.
Like, I'm just wondering, is this the kind of award show where, like, where you get a nomination and then everybody starts messaging each other like, hey, are you going to go to this?
It is. You're right, Charles. It is Games Radar. Okay. It's Games Radar.
Oh, it's Games Radar?
Yeah. Games Radar runs the Golden Joystick Awards.
Games Radar has been since the 90s?
Well, I mean, I think they probably like co-opted it at some
point. Oh, sure. I don't know. But this seems like the kind of thing where you don't show up. You're right.
For Ultimate Game of All Time, we had to narrow the 1.1 million or so games released in the last 50 years into a voting shortlist of 20 titles. We did this by creating a long list of several hundred titles using existing best of all time lists from Edge Magazine and Retro Gamer Magazine.
Oh, my God.
Plus the addition of every Ultimate Game of the Year winner from the Golden Joystick Awards, established 1983. The long list was then put to a panel of industry judges who created the short list of 20 you can see through the voting module. You can read more about the Ultimate Game of All Time shortlist criterion judging on GamesRadar.com.
This is stupid. How is Sims 1989, but The Sims is not on there? How do you put The Sims not on not the Ultimate Game of All Time?
Right.
Because that would be in my top three.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? The Sims 1989 is more groundbreaking, but The Sims is more culturally influential.
Which, again,
just points out why stupid this whole fucking...
This is so stupid. Like, this is so stupid. I'm mad. Golden Joysticks is dumb. It's all dumb. Get Ultimate out of your title. Is it a European thing?
Is Games Radar European? I don't think so.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought you said like it was like the British committee of something was voting on it.
That was in the
background.
In the background.
They're from New York.
It's a European thing. All right. I'm just going to. I can't get over this use of Ultimate.
Listen, we all know the Winter Keeleys are the only acceptable. Are the only acceptable games judge. But now that I'm at. So impressed we managed to get 20 minutes out of that stuff. Sad Blizzard news and arguing at a fucking awards show.
Do you, Charles? And like, we could vamp about anything. We're good at that.
Oh, I know. That's again, Friendship Simulator. This is I have to keep the mask pulled over just enough to be so I don't turn into one of those things where it's just fucking people talking to each other. Fucking dynamic banner. I'm coming for you. God, I hate that podcast. Charles, tell us about the new Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
All right. So, and let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a very quick score, and I'll ask you if it's okay to talk about spoilers. Okay. 5 out of 10.
Hey, okay.
So, with that, I mean, score, do you care about spoilers?
Here's the thing. I mean, I don't give a shit. Do you mean, like, should the audience care?
Yeah. I could give you a non-spoiler one.
Here's a good thing. This is the question, which I guess is in itself a spoiler, but I don't care. Does it do anything to change the expected Resident Evil formula?
Absolutely.
Yeah, whatever. Still do it. I don't care.
All right. So let me tell you.
Goodbye, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving if you care about this game for some fucking reason.
Oh, so listeners, friends, imagine, you know our personalities, Andy, me, James. And then you thought, why don't we make a better Resident Evil movie than those Paul W.S. Anderson ones? And that's basically this Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. So, you know, here's what happens. You're like, the director or writer, whoever, who I think is both anyways, said, we're going to make this game more faithful, or this film more faithful to the games. And you're like, oh, okay, so it's going to follow like the same storyline? No. Aww. We're going to make more references to the games.
Did they like go down a hallway and get confused by the angle of the...
In the first 10 minutes, there is Jill Valentine talking with Albert Wesker, and Jill steals a sandwich from him, and she says, this is a Jill sandwich. Oh, no. and then me and my little brother went...
You just look at each other and went, oh, no.
And that's kind of the tone for it, which is a shame because they just were like, they did some stuff where... So the reason why it's a 5 out of 10, there's actually scenes that are very well done. And you're like, oh, these people know how to direct scenes. Mm-hmm. And there's some like, there's good ideas here. But then they just made a story that didn't like, and in my, that didn't really come together. And in my head, I was like, look, I need to divorce myself from expecting what I've known for Resident Evil and accept this as a property loosely based on Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can I look at this and judge it differently? And even that way, with me trying so hard, this was awful. Leon as a character is no longer cool.
Oh.
Characters that... they do the thing where they try to tell the story of the first and second game at the same time.
No.
Which I was like,
why do they keep doing that?
Yeah. I was like, why are you doing that?
That's
just
too much.
Yeah. It's meant to happen sequentially. Spencer Mansion, Raccoon City.
Yeah.
They don't do that. They change the type of zombies, which, and they're less overtly zombie, but they're more like, they still have the thing where they like, oh, I want to eat you and stuff like that. But the zombies aren't decayed. They're kind of like...
Are they like 21 days zombies?
Well, so they can kind of semi-talk.
Oh, like, I don't know. As if they're...
So it's a little scarier because the zombies are kind of like, let me in or whatever. But they talk...
That's the domain of Las Plagas.
Yeah. But like... And instead, it's like they all look like they're cancer patients instead. But zombies...
Oh.
Because like they're losing their hair because they're getting sick, and then suddenly they just attack you. And so like things are, they're different. They're, it's like it's a different type of atmosphere to the story. And like, so it kind of bothered me when, you know, knowing that the writers are just like, we're gonna make it closer to the stuff, to the games. And they have some of these iconic shots you saw there. They did the Resident Evil shot where from the first game where you go down the hallway and you meet your first zombie and it does a slow turn. And you're like, that's pretty cool. And then then all these characters that you think are safe from the games are not safe anymore. And things get a little crazy with some of its acting and everything else. Where you're just like, ooh, that's a badly delivered line. You're like, ooh, what is going on?
I heard if this was like if Freddie Wong made a Resident Evil movie.
Oh, that's it. Nah. Yeah, Freddie and the rest of those people are great. They'd have a much better movie.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying like from a budgetary kind of way.
I mean, yeah, clearly there was a budget to this thing. So you're saying like if it's more like a web series instead, maybe. But there's legitimate good like cinematography here that I feel like is couched by good budget. Like they just focused their budget on different scenes instead of like everywhere, which is weird because like they do this thing that I thought was a good decision, which is when they wanted to make something scary, they changed the way they shot the composition to be more like a 90s horror slasher. And like the film kind of gets a little bit more grainy and they change the shots to make it feel like, you know, someone in the house, you know, type thing. And it gets like all interesting and like the atmospherically scary. And you're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then when it comes to the action, it's just kind of like, why is it so bad? Yeah. So, and that's like the disappointing part. It's just like, clearly there were some parts that they definitely, you know, they're like, all right, I know what to do. And you're like, okay, that's passable. And then they just fucking, they're like, ah, people will forgive us. And that's like a real shame overall. And like, they set us up to be like a new series of films. Mm-hmm. They do an extra credit scene. Mm-hmm. And oh, they wrote that scene horribly. Mm-hmm. And here, let me tell you. So Wesker in this movie, you know, in the games, Wesker doesn't really die. He comes back. He survives. Wesker in this movie doesn't have his signature sunglasses.
What?
And then in the extra credit scene, he wakes up. He's like, oh, I'm blind. And then a character walks up and gives him some glasses. They're like, it's a side effect of how we bring you back to life. And he goes, oh, who are you? And they show a scene, slowly shows up and goes, I'm Ada Wong.
Oh. And does she say, I am Ada Wong, or does she say Ada Wong?
I am
Ada Wong. Oh, Christ.
I was like, oh, God.
You know, like how you introduce yourself to people.
Yeah.
And, I am.
Yeah. And so the overall, I think the movie really does fail mostly on its writing, just because it has that weird problem where it's too much of an exposition dump. Like in the opening, the truck driver is talking to Claire because Claire is hitchhiked to Raccoon City. And the truck driver is like, why you want to go to Raccoon City? That place is a dump. Blah, blah, blah. Not since Umbrella did blah, blah, blah. Ooh. And, you know, it tells you so much stuff. And you're like, why is he talking so much? He's telling you so. And then all the characters do that for the first 20 minutes of the movie, describing the relationships of themselves and their other characters. And you're like, Jesus. Like,
watching this trailer, I'm stunned by how many actors they have in here, which are the good enough for TV, not quite good enough for movie actors. You're yeah. Like, oh, I like that guy in that show.
By the way, that guy's Leon.
Oh, I know.
Not Leon at all.
And here's my thing. As a minority person, I was like, oh, man, you got to represent better, man. It's like, oh, you know, we don't get brown Leons. Come on, help me out.
Leon has a hair.
But as we discussed earlier, you can watch this or you can hang out with your parents.
Which that's a real trick.
And I think that's what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Better than hanging out with your parents.
Yeah. But yeah, the game does, you know what? I'll give them another piece of credit. They did nail those references, though. There's a piano that needs to be played at the Spencer Mansion.
Someone definitely played the game at some point.
Yeah. No, so they did this thing. The other thing, too, they did make sure to use all this 90s era stuff. Like, Leon uses a Discman to listen to music. There's a Palm Pilot. I was like, oh, how fun. Yeah, it was like neat. But they're like, oh, there's this piano. Play the piano. Yeah.
Was he listening to Third Eye Blind?
No, it was another one. There was a 90s era song that was playing. I forget.
Was it a nice copyright free royalty?
Oh, no. It was a copywritten song. They had to paid a little bit. But what was that other thing? They even go so far to reference the specific keys you need.
Oh, cool.
And they're like,
is it like a helmet key and all that, like chess pieces
or something? The card suits, the keys. There's like a keychain, and I was like, ha, I get it, writers.
Do they Do they, is there a room full of lasers that can cut a man asunder?
Unfortunately, no.
Aww.
I know. But this movie suffers from over exposition, trying to cram a lot of stuff for new people, even though if you're going to watch this movie, you know what's about, because they did not give any marketing for this movie, because I didn't even know it was coming out this week. My brother just told me, hey, I got tickets. And I went, okay, we're going to watch this movie. So it's a shame, because I love zombie movies. And even then, it's hard for me to call this really a zombie movie. It's more of a generic monster movie. Not nearly enough zombies, just sick people. But yeah, so watch it when it's for free on Amazon Prime Video or any of your streaming services. I mean, you can pay to watch the theater. It's nice to support your local starving artist, but I don't recommend it. Yikes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, well, this has been another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I've been your host. I am James Hartwell, James Hartwell. And I've been joined by...
You've been joined by the ever gluttonous, but also friends with James for years, and also friends with the next person.
Oh.
It has been years, hasn't it?
Oh, Andy.
Andy. We got to get you to some improv classes.
Andy. I can't do it. Andy Sandwich. Wait. There we go. In the spirit of Resident Evil, I'm an Andy Sandwich. Okay. Well, no, you're supposed to say you were almost an Andy Sandwich.
Not according to this movie.
Well, then the movie did it wrong.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.